You are listening to the Midcurrent Church Podcast. This week's message is from our series titled, Red Letters, The Timeless Words of Jesus. For more information and to visit us online, check us out at midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Phil Print with today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, thank you so much. Happy summer, by the way. I'm kind of bummed that we're talking about end of the summer, but happy summer to you all. It is really great to be back up on stage instead of just sitting in the chairs with you, to be up here sharing God's word with you. And today, we're going to look at what many scholars believe is the most confusing story that Jesus ever told. And you're going to know why in just a moment. But before we go there, I want you to just simply fill in the blank for me. You'll see this on the side screens. Just fill in the blank. You've done this before. When I grow up, here it is. When I grow up, I want to be. Now, some of you young people are thinking, I want to be an influencer. Or I want to be a YouTuber. That didn't exist when I was growing up, by the way. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a movie star. I want to be a professional sports person. I want to be rich. I want to be famous, whatever. It's funny that when we fill in the blank, isn't it true that we often turn this into a what thing? You know, what I want to be when I grow up. We think profession. I think we should kind of turn it around, though, and talk more, not about what, but who we want to be when we grow up. Because isn't the truth is that none of us have grown up yet? I'm not thinking about Jonathan, by the way. I'm thinking about all of us. Because I think all of us, it's true for your life and my life, that we all know the disappointment, whether it's mild or whether it's major, we know the disappointment of not being where we thought we would be by now, right? And you can think about any area of your life, whether that's financially, whether that's spiritually, whether that's relationally, whatever it is. We know the disappointment of being here, right here, when we thought by now we would be here, or maybe we would be there. We all know that. None of us have arrived yet. None of us have grown up yet. So let's go back to the fill in the blank again and think more of a who. Who you want to be when you grow up. Here it is again. When I grow up, I want to be, and just let that settle with you for a moment. Because what I know about you, and I don't know all of you, but I know some of you, but here's what I know about all of us. Nobody filled that blank in with, when I grow up, I want to be in debt up to my eyeballs. Right? No one said that. And no one filled the blank. When I grow up, I want to be addicted to online shopping or online pornography or online gambling. I want to be addicted to alcohol. I want to be addicted to drugs. I want to be addicted to... No one filled the blank in that way. And no one filled the blank in, when I grow up, I want to be an angry, bitter, resentful person. I want my heart to be junked up with anger toward another person. Nobody said that, right? And here's what else I know. No one. When I grow up, no one said, when I grow up, I want to be lonely. I want to be all by myself. Or I want to be stuck in a rut. Or I want to be depressed. Or I want to be just filled with anxiety or worry. No one said that. And here's what I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that none of you filled that blank. When I grow up, I want to be a dishonest rascal, right? Did anybody like, no one wants to be around a dishonest rascal, right? You don't want to work with one of them. You don't want to live with one of them. You don't want to be a neighbor of one of them. And yet what makes this story that we're going to look at that Jesus told, and we're in this series called Red Letters, all about the life and teachings of Jesus. What makes this so interesting is that Jesus, in the story we're going to look at, it seems like he elevates, he applauds, he praises a dishonest rascal. Count of three, say rascal with me. One, two, three. Rascal. Yeah. He applauds one in this story. It's kind of like, what's going on here? We're going to look at why today. But more importantly, and this is why I hope you're here today, More importantly, as we look at the story, we're going to see why he elevates this guy, supposedly, but we're going to see more importantly what it takes for you, for me, to get from where we are right now to where we want to be, where God wants us to be. We're going to kind of look at what I want to call the secret sauce when it comes to growing up, whether that's spiritually or relationally or financially or physically or whatever the facet of life you're thinking about right now. So glad you're here. I hope that appeals to you just a little bit because I want us to get into God's word together. So if you brought a Bible, you have a Bible app, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 16. If you didn't bring a Bible, it's okay. The scripture will be on the side screens for you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four, what are they called? Gospels. Yeah, they record the life and the teachings of Jesus. Two of the gospel writers were eyewitnesses. Matthew and John were eyewitnesses. They were there writing things down. Luke was actually a first century physician, seriously, very learned man who was given the task to write an orderly account of what Jesus did and what Jesus said. And when you turn to Luke chapter 16, what you see is that Jesus is telling a story. We call them parables. They are just spiritual stories that pack a punch. And this one has a little bit of a punch to it. He told like 38 of these in the Gospels that are recorded for us. So with that in mind, Luke chapter 16, let's get right to the story. Verse 1, Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you're fired." Lame. I know. I'll work on it. Get your report in order because you're going to be fired. Now, we don't know what exactly has been going on. This guy's wasting corporate funds. He's scamming his boss. He's doing something, and it's been found out. Verse 3, the manager, the guy who's now, you know, in deep weeds, thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." Okay, again, this guy's in deep weeds. Whatever he's been doing, it's come out into the open now. He's getting fired, and so he's had a desk job all his life, all right? Fingernails aren't dirty at all. And he knows that when he gets canned, it's either dig ditches or beg on the street. And so he knows he has to do something. So what will he do? Well, he comes up with a plan. Look at verse 5. So he invited each person who owed money to his boss, his employer, to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And next guy, "And how much do you owe my employer?" He asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. All right, let's stop right there. You talk about working the angles here, right? This guy's manipulating the books. He's manipulating things in such a way that he will benefit from this whole thing. All right? I mean, he says to the one guy, hey, how much do you owe? 800 gallons of olive oil. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but olive oil back in that ancient world, it was like gold. In fact, 1 gallon of olive oil would have taken a whole week's wages to purchase 1 gallon. And this guy owes 800 gallons. He said, "Okay, you owe me 800. Let's make it 400 gallons. All right, good. Next guy comes in, 1,000 bushels of wheat. Let's make it 800. We're good. All right, what is going on here? What's this? This guy is scoring some major brownie points, isn't he? He's feathering his nest with his boss's feathers. And the question, of course, is how is the boss man going to respond to all of this? And let me ask you, how would you respond If that was your manager who was scamming you, how would you respond? Heads would roll, right? I mean, this is not a good thing at all. So how does the boss respond? Look at verse 8. The rich man had to, say that word with me. Yeah, just keep that in mind. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And this is where we go, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? Admire a dishonest rascal? That doesn't compute, does it? And then it doesn't even get any clearer when we read the next couple of verses where Jesus goes on and he says, isn't it true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are children of the light? Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your resources are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. All right, let's stop right there. Clear as mud, right? Clear as mud. Sam, you want to get up here and explain this for me? Now, you did such a great job last week. No? Yeah, okay. What's going on here? You don't usually applaud a dishonest rascal, right? Just like you don't want your daughter to marry one. And I want to go on record right now. I'm guessing this is being recorded. Stan's watching from the lake. My daughter did not marry a dishonest rascal. My older daughter, who's sitting over here, did not marry a dishonest rascal. You don't want your daughter to marry one. You don't want to be one. And yet Jesus seems like he's condoning, applauding a dishonest rascal and dishonest business practices. So what in the world is going on here? Look, can we call a quick timeout? I know the lake is calling you, but let's call a quick timeout. A couple of interpretation tips. As you're reading the Bible, and I hope you're reading your Bible, but as you're reading your Bible, you'll sometimes just kind of come across like this parable. And the first thing I want to say, interpretation-wise, is remember this is a parable. This is a figure, this is a form of teaching that Jesus employs quite often. And a parable is just a made-up story that has a point. Don't get lost when you're reading a parable, don't get lost in the weeds. Jesus will oftentimes use exaggeration, hyperbole. He will oftentimes use contrast. He'll oftentimes use a dishonest rascal to make a point. And that's certainly what he's doing here. A broader scale here, as you're reading the Bible, remember, it's not a book. The Bible's not a book. It's a collection of books. The Bible is a lot more like a library. Remember libraries? Remember walking into a library? How many's walked into a library in the last year? Oh, wow, more than I thought. Okay, good for you. They still have them, yeah. But when you walk into a library, it's not all just historical. It's not all biography. It's not all fiction. It's not all nonfiction. It's not all poetry. It's not all whatever. It's all kinds of different genres of literature. That is true in the Bible. There's 66 books, and there's all kinds of different literature in the book, in the books of the Bible. And so as you're reading the Bible, you might want to just pause for a moment and say, what kind of literature am I reading right now? Because if you're in like Matthew 5 and Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, yeah, gouge it out, you might want to stop and say, am I supposed to do that? Or what kind of literature is this? And the answer is, Jesus is employing hyperbole to make a point. If your right eye causes you to sin, he doesn't literally want you to get a knife out. And this gets kind of gross, doesn't it? Jesus taught it, though. It cut out your eye. No, what does he want you to do? He wants you to take sin really seriously. So you need to know, what is the type of literature I'm reading here? If today you get really bored and you decide to read the book of Revelation, some of you are thinking about doing that, I know, aren't you? It's not a bad thing to do. But know that it's apocalyptic literature, highly symbolical. Okay, it's going to be really weird stuff, but it's all symbolic. So I'm just saying, when you're reading the Bible, go, what kind of literature is this? This is a parable. Don't get caught up in all the details. Just look for the main point that Jesus is trying to make. Second interpretation principle goes like this. Always let the clear teachings of the Bible shed light or interpret the more confusing teachings in the Bible. In other words, if you're reading the Bible and you read something like, what in the world? That doesn't compute. That doesn't sound right. Stop and ask yourself, okay, what is the rest of the Bible, maybe the clearer teachings of the Bible, say about that? Here in Luke 16, it seems like Jesus is applauding a dishonest guy, applauding, condoning shady business practices. So you have to ask yourself, what does the rest of the Bible teach about dishonesty? And what you're going to find out in a hurry is the Bible overwhelmingly, 100% of the time, condemns shady business practices, condemns dishonesty. So whatever the point is of this particular story, it's not to go out and mimic this dishonest dude's dishonesty. It's not to go out and rip off your boss, all right? Got that? Okay, so what is then the point of this particular story? Well, I put it on the screen here for you. Jesus is calling us to emulate or imitate this dishonest dude's shrewdness. That is what Jesus wants us to focus in on. Not being dishonest, but the shrewdness of this dishonest dude. And I looked up the shrewd word that he uses here in the original language of the New Testament, which is Greek. And it's this word here. It's the word phronimos, shrewdness. It means to wisely or prudently prepare for the future. And that is exactly what this manager does. He knows he's in deep doo-doo, right? He looks out and sees a less than ideal future. He's going to be digging ditches or he's going to be begging on the street. And so what does he do? And the answer is something. He does something. I mean, this guy comes up with a plan. What he doesn't do is he doesn't throw a pity party for himself. Oh, woe is me. I'm toast. You know, I got nothing. He doesn't play the blame game, does he? He doesn't blame the economy. He doesn't blame his boss. He doesn't blame his parents. He doesn't blame Trump. He doesn't blame Biden. He doesn't blame anybody. I mean, he looks at himself. He knows it was his doing. And the other thing that the guy doesn't do here, he doesn't bury his head in the sand and say, oh, you know, it's all going to work out somehow. I'm not sure how, but I'm just going to kind of, you know, I'm just going to wait it out. Something good's going to happen, right? He doesn't do that. Okay, what does he do? And if you've been napping up to this time, just wake up right now, because what I want to share with you is what this guy does that Jesus applauds. This is what Jesus wants you and me to do so that we can move from wherever we are at to where we want to be and God wants us to be. This is what I share with you next is the secret sauce of success in any facet of your life. Spiritually, relationally, you name it, financially, this is the secret sauce. So you might want to take a screenshot, write this down, whatever. Here it is, three things. This is what we learn from the dishonest dude. Number one, face reality. What does he do? He faces reality, he takes responsibility, he comes up with a game plan, and then thirdly, what does he do? And we see this in the story. He moves quickly, and he executes the plan. All right, we're just going to let that up for a second because I want you to see this. Because that is the secret sauce of success. And that's what Jesus said that children of the light need to learn from children of the world. All right, Pastor Phil, children of the light, children of the world, what is that all about? Well, let me ask you, who are the children of the light? Here, let me back up the truck a little bit. Beep, 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 beep. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Anytime a pastor asks you a question, just say Jesus. Because 99% of the time, you'll be right. Jesus, yep. Jesus, yep, yep. You're going to know the answer. Jesus is the light of the world. And if you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, if he is your forgiver and the leader of your life, guess what? You're a child of the light. You're a follower of Jesus. And what Jesus is saying is that we who are children of the light, we sort of lag behind this whole area of facing reality, taking responsibility, executing. We fall behind the children of the world. And he's saying, don't do that. And I was trying to think about that, you know, because I've been around Christians all my life. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians. And I started thinking, you know what? And I'm thinking about myself, you know what? Yeah, we can be a little naive. We can be a little too nice. We can be a little too gullible. But the thing that really popped into my brain, that we who are children of the light are oftentimes, we could sometimes, as, you know, okay, this isn't right here, whatever that is, we can sometimes just spiritualize it, you know? We're looking at a less than ideal future, and what do? We just sort of like, I'm just gonna let go and let God. Did you ever hear that one? Wish I had a dollar every time I've heard it. You know, I'm just gonna let go and let God. It sounds so spiritual. It sounds like it should be a Bible verse. It sounds like it should be on like a Christian mug or a bumper sticker of a Christian's car, right? It sounds so, but it's not. It's not in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying don't trust God, but that's not what that's saying. It seems like every time I've heard someone use that phrase, probably myself included, I'm just going to let go and let God. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm too lazy to get off my lazy boy. It's just an excuse for inactivity. I'm just going to let go and let God, you know, instead of me facing reality, taking responsibility, coming up with a plan, moving quickly and executing the plan. I think too often we who are children of the light, we just kind of like let go and let God do it all. But that's not what God's calling us to do. And that's not what Jesus in the story is calling us to imitate and emulate. He's saying, be like the dishonest dude in his shrewdness. If you're facing something in your life that's not right, not ideal, not where God wants you to be, he's saying, hey, come on. Don't be naive. Don't be gullible. Be wise. Be wise like the guy here in Luke chapter 16. Now, if children of the world can do that, shouldn't we who are children of the light do it even better? I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit within us, right? We got the empowerment of God's Spirit dwelling within us. We got the Word of God in front of us that gives us guidance and wisdom. Shouldn't we be leading the league in doing what the dishonest dude in Luke 16 did? Yeah. So let me ask you, what area of your life do you need to do this in? You're not here by accident, I know that. It's not like you had nothing to do today, and you know, I'm just going to go to church because I got nothing to do. You know, you're here for a reason. So what area, what facet of your life do you need to face reality and take responsibility, come up with a game plan, and then move quickly and execute it? What area? And what I want to do is just sort of like rapid fire some areas of our lives. My goal is to, you know, make everybody mad, meddle in everybody's life, right? My goal is to throw some things out there, and maybe one of them will stick with you. Maybe you're going to say, okay, yeah, that's the area that I need to face in my life. So let me just throw out some areas, okay? And let's see where this goes. The first area I want to talk about, and maybe this is your area, maybe this is why God brought you here, is unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict. And let me just ask, got any? Don't point. But do you have any unresolved conflict? Is there someone that when they walk in the room, you go, you know? Is there somebody in your life and you and that person are like this for whatever reason? And what you've discovered is as time goes on now, you know, all of a sudden now there's that anger is not really going away, and there's some little seeds of bitterness, or there's some seeds of resentment that are just sort of growing. And so what's the plan? And if the plan is, I'm just going to ignore it, let me ask you, I'll go all Dr. Phil-like here. How's that working for you? How's that unresolved conflict? What is it doing to you, and what is it doing in you? Is it making you better, or is it making you bitter? Be honest. Be honest. And again, if the plan is, I'm going to ignore it, don't. Getting back to the New Testament here, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to this church he started in Rome. Paul writes these words in Romans 12, 18. He says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. I think that verse is so wise in that Paul is acknowledging that when there's unresolved conflict, the only thing I can do is what I can do. I have to take the first step as a follower of Jesus. I've got to initiate the process. Do all that I can do. I got to do my part, whatever my part is. So, have you? And then Paul, also writing to the church he started in Ephesus, says these words in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. He says, you've probably heard this one before, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Everybody look up here. How many suns have gone down and you're still angry? What I didn't put up on the screen for you is the next part of that verse that says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Because if you do, you give the devil a foothold in your life, which is kind of scary to think about. If I don't deal with my anger, my bitterness, my resentment, it's like I'm giving a key to our enemy, the devil, to come in and mess up my heart. So again, is this your area you need to deal with? If so, face reality. Come up with a game plan and execute the plan. All right, here's the second area, physical health. Physical health. Are you really going there? Yeah, why not? Because if you don't take care of your wellness right now, you will deal with your illness down the road. I'll say that again. If you don't focus on your wellness today, you will deal with your illness down the road. Don't you want to be well today? Don't you want to be healthy today? And don't you want to be healthy enough that someday when you have grandkids, you're going to be healthy enough to run around with them? I just had our kids over 4th of July, and they want to play wiffle ball. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I'm so glad I can do that still. I did strike out twice, but I played, you know. Don't you want to be healthy enough today and healthy enough tomorrow to be able to do that? So, are you? Are you? What are you eating? What are you drinking? Are you moving your body? Yes or no? Pastor Phil! Yeah? Stick with preaching the Bible! I am. Paul, writing to the church he started in Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says, God cares about our bodies. Yeah. Verse 19, same chapter, same book, says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You are a temple, not a cathedral, a temple. Not sure where that came from, but you know. And then there's one more verse here. This is verse 20, says honor God with our bodies. And I just want to ask, I'm going to ask, you ask yourself, am I doing that? Am I honoring God with my body? If not, what's my plan? What's my plan? Face reality. What's my plan? Area number 3, addiction. Am I working too much? Am I drinking too much? Does online shopping, online gambling, online pornography, does it have a hold, a sway in my life? And if so, will I face that? Will I deal with that? Will I come up with a game plan? If the game plan is to do the same old thing that you've been trying to do to break free of that, if that's the same old plan you've been using that hasn't worked, you need a different plan. Doing the same old is going to give you the same old results, addiction. Face reality. Take responsibility and come up with a game plan. Next area is money management. Money management. I want you to ask yourself right now, am I living within my means? Am I paying off all credit card debt? Am I saving for the future? Am I giving to support my local church? And if the answer to any of those questions is no, you got to face reality. What is your game plan? And if your game plan is, I'm going to win the lottery someday, or I'm waiting for Ed McMahon to show up at my doorstep. Here's the deal, friends. Ed McMahon died in 2009. He ain't coming. Some of you are too young. You don't even know what I'm talking about right now. There used to be this thing called Reader's Digest. There's a sweepstakes, $1 million. You know, Ed McMahon would show up with a check, whatever. Look it up, Google it, whatever you want to do. And the odds of you winning the lottery are lower than dead Ed showing up at your doorstep. So if you're kind of upside down financially, honestly, all seriousness, you've got to face reality. And you've got to take responsibility. And you've got to come up with a game plan. All right? All right, one more area. And I just want to talk about eternity for a moment with you. Because if you go back to Luke 16, in the word that Jesus elevates, this shrewdness word that Jesus wants us to be all about, remember what it was all about? That word shrewdness literally means to prudently or wisely prepare for the future. And the ultimate thing that we have to prepare for is not retirement. It's not kids' college fund. It's not, you know, your kid getting married someday. The ultimate thing that we have to prepare for is what? It's death. It's eternity. And Jesus in his teachings was crystal clear that there are two paths that we can choose in life. Here's one path here and here's another path there. And this path leads to an eternity separated from Jesus in a place called hell. And this path leads to an eternity in a place called heaven. A prepared place for prepared people. And Jesus was really clear that there's two eternal destinations. And he wasn't using hyperbole. He wasn't exaggerating. Hell and heaven are real places that real people spend a very real eternity in. One of the two. And this is why Jesus came to earth, friends. It's why he died on a very real cross and shed very real blood so that real people like you and me could someday spend our eternity with him in heaven. So I have to ask you, are you ready for eternity? Because if you're not ready for eternity, you're not ready for today. Face reality. Face reality. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Face reality. Take responsibility and come up with a game plan. Actually, the game plan's already there. Jesus died on a cross, rose from the grave, and he offers us forgiveness and eternal life as a gift that we receive. That we receive. And if you haven't done that yet, man, I can't think of a better day, a better time than right now to embrace the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy that Jesus offers you. Now, we've looked at five areas. We could look at many, many more areas. But I want to go back and just ask, why did God bring you here today? Which area of your life is maybe the Holy Spirit right now just shining a spotlight on in your life? Here's the deal. It's July. We're like halftime of the year 2026. We're at halftime right now. And God wants us to focus on whatever that thing is that's holding us back from being the person that he wants us to be. So what area is that for you? What is it? What is it? It all starts with me just facing reality. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, isn't it? But you have to define it because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. So you have to define it. Define what it is. Just say to yourself right now, okay, I have a problem with online shopping, or my finances are a mess, or I'm not ready to die. I'm not ready to stand before God the Father when I die. I'm not ready to face that judgment day. Or I have a problem with alcohol, or I have a problem with, I have this conflict that's not resolved, and yeah, my heart is junked up with anger. It is. Whatever it is, friends, whatever it is, the secret sauce is there for us. Right out of God's word. Define reality. Take responsibility and move quickly. And if you do that, you will move from where you are right now, maybe stuck. You'll become the who that you want to be and the who that God wants you to be and the who that the people around you who love you want you to be. And that's what I want for you too. So let me pray. God, Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this amazing story that Jesus told that packs such a punch. And God, I want to pause right now. Holy Spirit, I want to pause and invite you to open the eyes of everyone here, including my own. What's the area that we need to face? What's the area that we know we need to take responsibility in? I pray that your Spirit would empower us, would convict us, would encourage us to take that step, whatever it might be. For the person in the room who hasn't put their faith and their hope in you, Jesus, I pray that they would do that right now. They would just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need you. Forgive me. Forgive me. Come into my life. God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for every other person in the room, the encouragement we find just being together. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Midcurrent is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin.